It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
This is Tez Walker, and you're listening to Roster Watch. Roster Watch Nation, what is up and welcome back to the epic Roster Watch podcast. I'm Cody Carpentier, solo dolo on this beautiful Monday morning because it's a top 10 thoughts. So it's actually closer to 23 thoughts. It's a top 10 thoughts edition of the Roster Watch podcast. I've done the top 10 thoughts, you know, the last couple of seasons in season, but now we're through 2 weeks of the preseason games. And I just want to get on here, give Trashman and Alex a little bit of a day off. They're doing, you know, solo shows, solo videos, and we're just grinding through. If you missed the show this weekend, the big fantasy draft show this weekend at Roster Watch, you can go back and listen to it on the podcast or on YouTube. It was almost 2 hours long of our signature Saturday big fantasy draft show. You can go back and listen to it. We will be live again next Saturday at noon Eastern time, August 23rd. Please click that like button. Please click subscribe here on YouTube. If you're on podcast, leave us a beautiful five-star review. And as always, if you're watching on YouTube, there is a QR code right there on the right side of the screen. You can go over to rosterwatch.com and become a pro or premium member today. Just $9.99 a month. $9.99 a month. I've spent more this morning on coffee and on an energy drink than it costs you for a month of rosterwatch.com. And with that comes Ultimate Draft Cheat Sheet, half and standard. Version 2.4 was up this weekend. The PPR sheet 4.2 was up this weekend. The Superflex sheet version 3.1 was up this weekend. The offensive line rankings were updated this weekend. All the strength of schedule tools, the fast start tool, implied team totals tools, season-long Vegas props tools, and there's much more coming to the premium section of rosterwatch.com as well this season. You will not want to miss out. All right, let's get to it really quickly. We don't got too long of a show today, but we're going to get to it. Let's call it the top 23 thoughts from week two of the preseason. Number one, I watched back, just for a premise here, I watched back all 14 games from this weekend, not counting the game last night, the Chicago Bears-Bills game. I have not rewatched that one, but I rewatched the first 14 games of the weekend all day yesterday while my wife was on call at the hospital, and I was home alone with a dog, like usual. Here we go. Antonio Gibson got the start on Saturday afternoon for New England, and I don't think it matters in the grand scheme of things in New England for obvious reasons. We'll get to this. However, I think there is a grip of teams that could use Antonio Gibson's services in the NFL today. Like, there is a number of teams. I think the first one that comes to mind is the Green Bay Packers. You look at the Green Bay Packers, this is for a later on thought, but like, the Packers need help at running back, and a perfect complement to Josh Jacobs to like say, all right, well, if Josh Jacobs were to miss any time, if Josh Jacobs were to go down, who's a guy that has a similar play style? I think you look at Antonio Gibson as that guy. Number two, the player comps for Travion Henderson entering the season, you know, from rosterwatch.com, these were our comps. Jahmyr Gibbs, Aaron Jones, Tony Pollard, coming through the rookie process after last year's 1,000-yard season at Ohio State with Quinshon Judkins and winning that national championship. through two games of the preseason, I was trying to put my finger on it. Who's the guy? Who's the different comp? Who's the change of the, something was a little bit off in those other comps. I know I love the idea of the Gibbs one, and I think Aaron Jones is close, and Tony Pollard is a little bit bigger. Pollard's like 6'6", 6'1". I'm going to add Austin Eckler to that list. Austin Eckler to the player comp list for Travion Henderson. And I know like people have forgotten what Austin Eckler is today because he's in Washington right now. And the hot thing in Washington is Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, who we'll talk about here in a little bit. But remind you that we did get out of Austin Eckler, who, again, grinded through, was an undrafted free agent in 2017, grinded through to make that Charger roster with Melvin Gordon, took that job away from Melvin Gordon, and had four consecutive seasons as a RB1 in fantasy football from 2019 to 2022, culminating in a RB2 season and an RB1 season in 2021 and 2022. Never did he have more than 1,000 rushing yards in one of those seasons. He did have 107 receptions in 2022. The play style, the running in between the tackles, the low and quick contact balance, the burst, like I said, in between the tackles. I think the pass protection, I think Henderson's the best pass protector on the roster, which we knew he was going to be a good pass protector in the backfield, but on the roster, like amongst all the offensive linemen, I just watched Henderson pick up a number of blockers or a number of blitzers this weekend against the Vikings. Was very impressed with that. Thought number three, Diontae Johnson. I said, what a whirlwind the last 18 months has been for Diontae Johnson. I don't want to get into this too deep, but he finished 2023 second in targets for the Steelers. He was traded to the Panthers in 2024, March of 2024. He led the Panthers in receiving through seven games. He had an oblique injury, and for those on the podcast, I'm making air quotes. He had an oblique injury in week eight. He was traded to Baltimore that same week. Played four games for the Ravens, had one catch. He was waived in week 15. Claimed by the Texans, waived 23 days later, claimed back by the Ravens for free agency purposes. They were hoping that they would be able to get a comp pick back. He then signs a deal with the Browns this offseason. So basically, within the last 18 months, he's been on three-fourths of the AFC North. $1.17 million deal with Cleveland. He was targeted three times this weekend and started a two-wide receiver set with Cedric Tillman with no Jerry Jeudy. I think Diontae probably makes this roster, probably. They just signed Isaiah Bond from Texas to a three-year, $3 million guaranteed deal. We'll see what that does. I feel like if Bond is even competent in practice in a week, he's going to beat out Diontae Johnson. But, you know, Johnson also looked a little bit lackadaisical. Anyway, I don't want to waste too much time on Diontae Johnson. Number four, this is a defensive note here. I didn't realize – well, I guess I realized it. I remember it from free agency, but – the Eagles signed Azeez Ojulari from the Giants this last year. Ojulari was a former second-round pick. The Giants have a strong front seven. The Eagles also have a strong front seven. He had two big pressures this weekend, had a sack on 13 pass rush opportunities on Saturday. I know it's a fantasy football podcast, but I do get IDP questions quite a bit in my DMs and emailed to me from Roster Watch Nation. So I figured just throwing a couple of thoughts from defense here. Ojulari did have six sacks last season playing for the Giants. He's also now the sixth Georgia Bulldog on the front seven for the Philadelphia Eagles. So he joins Nolan Smith, Jordan Davis, all these guys, Jalen Carter. Now I'm there. N'Kobe Dean. He joins these guys as the sixth former Georgia Bulldog in the front seven for the Eagles. Number five, Ricky Pearsall. I thought Ricky Pearsall looked great. I'll get to him a little bit later when we talk about the wide receivers that just straight up stood out and ranking the guys that are kind of perceived as underrated at the moment. I think Ricky Pearsall is one of those guys. Watching the Raiders game, though, the defense kind of stood out to me for the Raiders was Devin White. Back to the IDP stuff. Like, I'll get the IDPs out of the way here quickly. It's like Devin White entering his age 27 season, I believe is what I had it listed as. I looked this up before, too, because I was like, man, he still looks like he's spry, and he's got some steps in his foot. Obviously, he's got some steps in his feet. But I thought Devin White looked good. If they can somehow get this defense to do anything competent in Las Vegas, I think it's going to come with a Devin White who, as I was saying, age 27. I knew it was 27. I was like, man, is it 29? His age 27 season, after dealing with a couple of injuries the last couple of years while he was in Houston last year, which you kind of forget about. And then he was in Tampa, obviously, for the majority of his career. But if Devin White can be competent, he was really flashing on the screen this weekend in that San Francisco and Las Vegas game. Number six, Matt LaFleur says Marshawn Lloyd is going to miss some time with another hamstring injury. Just to note, they did sign Tyrion Davis Price last week. They love Emmanuel Wilson. I like Emmanuel Wilson. But like I said earlier with Antonio Gibson, what about a trade? What about a trade for an Antonio Gibson type with Green Bay? It's not going to be an overly expensive play. It does sound like this morning that there were some reports out there that the New England Patriots were looking to potentially use a first or second round pick to get a first or second round talent. Now, maybe that means Antonio Gibson plus a pick gets you what? What can you get for the Packers? I don't know. Maybe a receiver of some sorts if they're willing to part with, I don't know. Yeah. They do have a number of interior offensive linemen, potentially a Jordan Morgan type that can play guard and tackle. Like I just, that plus a receiver, I don't know. You maybe concoct something like this where it's like Gibson and a pick gets you a Christian Watson or a Jaden Reed and Jordan Morgan, maybe. Jordan Morgan's at a great I don't think the Packers are in the market of getting rid of Jordan Morgan, but they're pretty dense in the offensive line category as far as depth goes. Other running backs that are up for potential trade candidacy, Rashad White, Breece Hall, Brian Robinson, obviously. Pierre Strong, I think, is interesting in Cleveland. Travis Etienne of note. Number seven, Jack Besh. We got to get cooking here. Jack Besh looked good Saturday, but I think he's a lot closer to the Dontavian Wicks, Josh Palmer tier than I think people were hoping. He was going to be closer to the Ricky Pearsall, Puka Nacua. So I put this tweet out. People were like, what does this even mean? Like, I don't think you're quite giving Jack. Listen, Deontay Thornton's outplaying Jack Besh right now in Las Vegas. Trey Tucker's outplaying him. Jacoby Myers is outplaying him. Obviously, Bowers is outplaying. Like, this is just Besh is good, but he's not, you know, he's – Wicks is good. Wicks is at a drop problem. Wicks has got explosiveness, but, right, Josh Palmer's like just a dude. He's a jag. But he can play really – I mean, he's going to be a guy that's probably going to get 80 to 100 targets this year in Buffalo. Besh can be fine. This is not a death sentence for Besh. It's just saying, like, we need to look at him in a different lens than we have been maybe. The perception of a second-round pick saying, this guy could be Ricky Pearsall, Puka Nacua. Dontavian Wicks, Josh Palmer is much more what I've came away with Jack Besh. Number eight, I added Rasheen Ali to the list of running backs that I'll take in the Week 6 waiver run this year over Miles Sanders. I'm not even confident Rasheen Ali makes this roster. I've read a number of 53-man roster projections for the Ravens, and it's obviously Derrick Henry. It's Keaton Mitchell and, gosh, there was one more. But it wasn't Rasheen Ali consensus. The consensus was much more the Keaton Mitchells of the worlds, Derrick Henry, who's there, Justice Hill, obviously. Those were the three. And I think Rasheen Ali deserves to be on a roster. When I think about the handcuffs in the NFL right now, I don't have to count out too many to get the Rasheen Ali. Like, you know, Jaylen Warren, Zach Charbonnet, Sean Tucker, Ollie Gordon, Will Shipley, Jaden Blue, Isaiah Davis, DJ Giddens, Kendra. I think you get to this DJ Giddens, Kendra Miller, Julius Chestnut, Blake Corum, Kamani Vidal, Rasheen Ali tier. I think Ali deserves to be in that tier with like Craig Reynolds is of the world. Like Craig Reynolds looks good too. We'll get to that here in a second. But I think Rasheen Ali deserves a chance. Another note I made was just some of these preseason games were freaking tough to watch. Like, tough to watch, man. But that beats the hell out of the XFL. The Giants and Jets game. Like, I'm not confident either of these teams win a single game all year. It's kind of a joke, but, like, seriously. I know it's preseason, and it just shows more so depth than anything. That's what preseason's always meant to me. It's like, all right, well, how much are you going to play your starters versus second team, starters versus third team? Sometimes ends up happening in some of these games. But really what it is depth on depth, and it shows you kind of what the bulk of your roster looks like. Giants and Jets game was tough. Chargers and Rams game, a little bit better, but still tough. Jacksonville, New Orleans sucked. Houston, Carolina was not fun. Those are just a couple of horrible games to watch. Number 10, the Houston Texans, they sent John Mechie to the Eagles this weekend. That one kind of caught me off – I guess it caught me off guard right away. And I was like, man, everything I've ever heard out of Houston has been like they love Mechie. But – and you look at the depth in Houston, it didn't seem like he was potentially going to make this roster, which is the big problem, right? You think – or at the rip, you go, all right, Nico Collins, Christian Kirk, Jaden Higgins, Jalen Noel. What's after that? Well, they're Justin Watson's had a good camp. What the, Justin Watson? He's going to beat up John Mechie? Obviously, Tank Dell's going to be on your IR, your PUP, whatever. He's not going to play this year. Xavier Hutchinson. They like Hutchinson for special teams purposes. He's going to be your sixth receiver in Houston. Anyway, they send Mechie to Philadelphia where he teams back up with Devonta Smith. Remember these two guys in 2020 when Smith won the Heisman with the two leading receivers for Alabama, not with Jalen Hurts for those wondering. 172 receptions, 2,700 yards, and 30 touchdowns combined for Mechie and Smith. What it means to Philly and what it means to Houston, I think, are two different things. We just talked about Houston, but for Philly, they've been trying to find a wide receiver three for like 5-6 years. Jahan Dotson, Johnny Wilson, Aeneas Smith, obviously remember Julio Jones. Like, they've went after dudes year after year after year after year to try to be this wide receiver three. Then we have the A.J. Brown hamstring thing. I don't think this is a hamstring. I don't think this is a result of the hamstring injury from A.J. Brown, but I don't think it's nothing. I think Mechie obviously makes the roster. They traded Harrison Bryant.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
In return as well with some other comp picks. But for the Houston side, this does give me more confidence in Christian Kirk. And obviously Nolan Higgins. Number 11, Anthony Gould, the second-year receiver, little gadget guy out of Oregon State. Got a lot of run this weekend with Josh Downs being banged up. He's been banged up for a week or so in camp. Gould looks like he took a step forward. He is like the doppelganger to Josh Downs. As Alex would say, Downs was puny at the NFL Combine a couple of years ago. And Gould is – it's unfortunate because the quarterback play sucks. But Gould's taken a step forward. It's not going to mean anything for fantasy football purposes. It's just a good football player. He's going to play. It's going to be annoying because you're going to be sitting there like week 8, week 9, maybe half Pittman or something in a lineup, and it's going to be like a reverse touchdown Anthony Gould, just like it's been with Ashton Doolin in the last couple of years. But I think Gould's good. Gould's going to make this roster. Just a reminder, take a pause here for a second. Just say, make sure you go to rosterwatch.com, subscribe, lock in, pro or premium membership this year. August is a big month for us to make sure we keep taking that step forward and building this thing that is Roster Watch. We're closing in on or right around 30,000 subscribers on YouTube because of you, the people that are deciding to tap in, lock in with Roster Watch Nation and watch the shows. And the way we can continue to grow this thing is if you click that like button, you get that like button up over 100, 200, 300, what? You drop some comments, you get us up over 10, 20, 30, 40 comments. We'll interact with you. We'll answer your fantasy football questions, but we'll answer more of them if you subscribe to rosterwatch.com, become a pro or a premium member. We always get questions at the bottom of our articles or the bottom of our posts, and those are the first questions that we always go to answer at rosterwatch.com. So please become a pro or a premium member today and get the ultimate draft cheat sheet from rosterwatch.com. Number 12, according to Andrew Filippani, who covers the Steelers, Caleb Johnson got zero carries behind the Steelers' offensive line. Not a good sign. I don't care. I can't stress this enough. I don't care. It's preseason. The third straight year now, we've heard Jaylen Warren from every Steelers media. Output, outlook, whatever the hell I'm trying to say. Every year. And what happens every year? Najee Harris is the back. And now you have a horse in Caleb Johnson that's bigger, faster, stronger than what Najee's been the last couple of years, because Najee's obviously getting, you know, a little bit aged. Maybe not bigger. I guess Najee's probably a little bit bigger. Caleb's a dude, man. Caleb, this is the same thing like with Denver. They're like, well, J.K. Dobbins rested with the starters. No starters played. It's like, well, J.K. Dobbins has been dealing with ankle injuries and knee injuries. He's a veteran. That's how preseason works. Not all veterans play in week two and week three in the preseason. It's fine. Dobbins and Harvey are going to split that backfield. Caleb and Warren are going to split the backfield. But to write it off and say, Caleb got zero carries, he's not a good sign. I promise you, it's fine. Caleb got work, looked good. There's nothing to worry about at all with Caleb Johnson. So if we're going to keep on getting value with Caleb Johnson, you're going to keep on getting value with Caleb Johnson in the Ultimate Draft Cheat Sheet. Number 13, Travion Henderson went 403 in the FFPC main event this weekend that I was catching up on. Other rookies, Ashton Jeanty went 112, Omarion Hampton 305, RJ Harvey 503. Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt, amongst those rookies, this is kind of not in the FFPC main event ADP, and obviously the FFPC is different scoring for those that don't know. It's a tight end premium style league, et cetera, et cetera. Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt went in the sixth round of an underdog best ball draft this weekend. Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt has been the center of conversations in Washington the last couple of days. We talked about it, the Ben Standig report. But now they're reporting that Brian Robinson is a trade candidate and they're actively shopping him. That would lead us to believe that Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt's going to obviously get some bulk of these touches. Austin Eckler's still there. Remember, Ben Standig did say Austin Eckler's the best back on the team. That was Standig's stance a week ago when he reported that Brian Robinson could potentially not be on this roster in week one. Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt went exactly one round later than RJ Harvey in that said underdog draft at the 6:04. Just a reminder that, you know, we wouldn't be Roster Watch without Roster Watch Nation, you, the people. And we wouldn't be able to travel to these events that we do all year round without you, the people, supporting us. January 25th, 2025. Rewind really quickly. Roster Watch Nation tweets out, Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt with a video game emoji. Get to know the name, running back from Arizona by way of New Mexico and Alabama State. 5'10", 206. No less than an hour and a half later, I tweeted out from my account, Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt is running away with the best running back honors this week, literally. Hashtag Shrine Bowl. A couple days later, we put out the Shrine Bowl, all Shrine Bowl team, similar to how we do the all Senior Bowl roster. Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt is the all Shrine Bowl running back. He outpaced Taj Brooks from Texas Tech. He outpaced a number of other backs that got drafted. Krosky-Merritt was the clear cut. And everyone's like, whoa, who, this guy had one game last year. He, the NCAA, you know, did NCAA things. Krosky-Merritt's good. And because of you guys, we were able to go see Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt, get him locked in, be ahead of him on Dynasty, and continue to be able to have this conversation with you guys on the podcast. We are big Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt fans, and we're going to continue to adjust with the ADP. Now, this thing could go nuts this next week, so just make sure you stay locked in, and we'll continue to keep you updated. A running back that maybe doesn't have the juice that Ja'Cory does, Nick Chubb. I was ahead on Nick Chubb a couple of weeks ago, and then I kind of pulled back when D'Amico Ryan said that, you know, some guys just age. Like, everybody ages, you get older. I don't think that Nick Chubb's toast. I think there was an overwhelming report coming out of Houston camp that Nick Chubb was toast and he sucked. But when you turn the game on this weekend, like, Moody Marks has more juice than Chubb. But they're asked to do two different things. I think Woody Marks and Nick Chubb are both solid values right now. Will he give the Texans exactly what Mixon did last year? No. Will he give the Texans exactly what he did in 2022 to Cleveland? No. But do I think Nick Chubb can give you 150 carries, 180 carries, 700 yards, and plunge into the end zone six times? I do. And he's going at the board right now, running back 45, and those stats, without even considering, like, any mediocre, you know, 10 to 15 catches, that's running back 22 to running back 28, which is exactly where Brian Robinson has finished the last two seasons in Washington. If you get that output from Nick Chubb, you're going to be not upset. You're not going to be ecstatic, but you're going to be – that's fine for your running back 4 or 5. That's totally doable for a bye week fill-in. That's totally doable for an injury that happens to a guy and you miss out on somebody else in the waiver wire and you got Chubb on your bench that you know is going to get in there and get you 14 to 16 carries in the game. I also think Nick Chubb's I also think Woody Marks is a value for what he is. Chubb's not going to get the lion's share. Neither is Woody Marks. I don't think Marks is ever going to take this thing over if Chubb is healthy. I don't even know if they'll give it to Woody Marks if Chubb gets hurt. It's just not built that way. And, of course, I'm taking this all into account that Mixon's not going to play for the first 2 months of the season. This is kind of my thoughts. Another one, Christian Kirk in Houston right now. Christian Kirk bouncing back to wide receiver 2-3 territory, just being the check down merchant in Houston makes a ton of sense. This offense is circled around Stroud and Collins, and Christian Kirk right now is wide receiver 61 in half PPR, wide receiver 55 in PPR. You know, I like Higgins and Noel. Higgins made some nice plays. Noel looks fine, but not right off the bat. These guys aren't ready today to be what Christian Kirk already is. Christian Kirk showed it in the first two drives this weekend that Christian Kirk is still Christian Kirk, and he's still going to be the number two guy behind Nico Collins in this offense, and he's still going to give you a pretty consistent 5 to 8 targets a game for what it's worth. Rico Dowdle versus Trevor Etienne. I think I lost count to the number. I just have these listed out now. Rico Dowdle versus Trevor Etienne, I think, is a close call for the backup in Carolina behind Chuba Hubbard. I think Dowdle's going to get your third down work. You're going to get, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 targets for Rico Dowdle in any given week consistently to start the season. But I think if anything happens to Hubbard, I'm just going to put this file this away, and that's why I put it here. If something were to happen to Hubbard, Hubbard misses a game, whatever, ETN's going to be the guy that carries the water. He's going to be the guy that gets the 16 carries in a game if Hubbard misses any time. I'm not sure that's Rico Dowdle. I think Dowdle's filling in more for that, you know, that old Raheem Blackshear role, or that wannabe Miles Sanders role where it's the pass-catching guy. Couple of more before we get out of here. I thought it was great to finally see Hendon Hooker really running around, no knee brace, making plays. He had a rushing touchdown that was impressive that was called back for a hold this weekend. I thought that was notable. Tank Bigsby had a solid first drive with the Jacksonville Jaguars. He was the starting back, but it always seems to end the same way in a fumble. And you're like, man, Tank looks good, breaks away as a 16, 17-yard run. And then the next play, he gets blown up and the ball goes flying and they turn the ball over. I don't know how they're going to continue to keep up with this Bigsby thing in Jacksonville. As much as I liked him as a prospect, it's got to be annoying, especially for a new regime to come in there and have guys that they drafted like a Bashaul Tooten. I think it's going to end up being a Tooten gets the bump here in the next week. If potentially a Bigsby, it feels like Bigsby's probably going to be the first man out if there's a trade that happens. Couple interesting receiver notes. No Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, Malik Washington, or Nick Westbrook-Ikhine for the Dolphins. Instead, they started out with Dee Eskridge, formerly of the Seattle Seahawks, second-round pick, Eric Ezukama from Texas Tech. He had Theo Weiss, who had a big fourth quarter with Quinn Ewers, and then Taj Washington. Those are kind of your four guys in Miami duking it out. I think I come away with that just saying I'm not the biggest Theo Weiss fan. I know he had a good fourth quarter with Quinn Ewers, but you know, Dee Eskridge showed some spurts. He was good in the kick return game, had a fumble, but he looked good before that. He was underthrown on a deep ball by Zach Wilson. I thought Wilson played actually pretty decent. I think Ezukama is just solid right next to, you know, that Nick Westbrook-Ikhine kind of realm. Taj Washington, Dee Eskridge feel like the two guys to make this roster, but they're both kind of in the same mold of Tyreek and Malik Washington. A lot of small dudes here, so it wouldn't surprise me if Ezukama is the guy. None of them matter for fantasy football in 2025. We'll finish out right here. Our standout wide receivers, my first tier standout wide receivers from week 2, Ricky Pearsall, Emeka Egbuka from Tampa, Christian Kirk, Parker Washington with the Jacksonville Jaguars, Alec Amanner. He deserved probably a thought on his own. Amanner wouldn't, I mean, here, these are my final big three takeaways. I'll just keep him for the end here. Amanner makes the list. Keandre Lambert-Smith, Pat Bryant makes the list, tier number one. Tier two, Jake Bobo, Anthony Gould, Isaac Tesla from Detroit, Mason Tipton from New Orleans, Bo Collins from the Giants, and Troy Franklin from Denver make tier two. And then tier three, Anthony Miller from Baltimore and Jack Besh from the Raiders. I'm not sure Anthony Miller makes that roster, but it was fun nonetheless. The final three takeaways to get out of here. Roster Watch Nation, we appreciate you. We love you. Click that like button. Click subscribe. Number three, counting it down 3-1. Number three, Trayvon Henderson will be a top four running back in receptions this year. I think it culminates in him being a top 12 running back in fantasy football. Number two, Malik Willis would elevate the Indianapolis Colts passing game. I know it's a random thought, but it was the same game, so it was easy to see. It's not going to happen. They're not going to move him to Indy because they need him as the backup for Jordan Love. I don't think they'll make that play. I wouldn't make that play, especially with a banged up Love. But the idea that Malik Willis would elevate the Colts offense more than Daniel Jones and Anthony Richardson. Just let that marinate. And number one, one of my biggest takeaway from the weekend, Alec Amanner could finish with over 750, 850, maybe 950. If he had a 1,000-yard season this year, Alec Amanner with a 1,000-yard season in Tennessee this year, it would not shock me in the slightest. Big value. LKA Manor, Tennessee Titans.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
A BetterHelp ad. Lewis Capaldi partnered with BetterHelp to get word out about how important therapy can be.
I struggle most weeks to like get up, get myself up and ready and go to therapy or, you know, whatever. Like even like to open the laptop to talk to my therapist sometimes can be really difficult. But I do it because I realise how important it is for me to continue to feel good. Because like, I felt the best I've felt in a long time through therapy.
Learn more about online therapy at BetterHelp.com.